I'd just like to add a few thoughts to what George has shared with us along the very same lines. Something that I just a little detail that I enjoyed on the way down here in the van. George talked about Abraham and how God made a promise to him and brought blessing. And what I was thinking about was David and how God made a promise to him and his family and brought blessing. I'd just like to turn for a couple of minutes to 2 Samuel chapter 7. This chapter is where David wants to build a house for the Lord, and the Lord said no because he had been a bloody man. And the Lord promises David that he would build him a house. I just would like to read that in verse 12. It says, "And when thy days be fulfilled, thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, and I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. And he shall build an house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men, with the stripes of the children of men. But my mercy shall not depart away from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before thee. And thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee, and thy throne shall be established forever. According to all these words and according to all this vision did Nathan speak unto David." So here David is given a promise of his household, a blessing that would last forever, unlike what had happened to Saul when Saul had failed. George brought out grace, and that's really what I wanted to bring out in this little detail that was I appreciated so much this week. It says, "But my mercy shall not depart away from him as I took it from Saul." So what happens? I just would like to turn over a couple of chapters, and there's complete failure with David. Chapter 11. This was referred to yesterday by Stephen Stewart, and I appreciated the little detail there that it was a lack of thankfulness that the Lord pointed his finger on. Chapter 11, verse 1, it says, "It came to pass, after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah, and David tarried still at Jerusalem. And it came to pass in an eventide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house, and from the roof he saw a woman washing herself. And the woman was very beautiful to look upon, and David sent and inquired after the woman, and one said, 'Is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?' And David sent messengers and took her. She came in unto him, and he lay with her, for she was purified from her uncleanness. She returned unto her house, and the woman conceived and sent and told David, 'I am with child.'" Here David fails. He falls into the things that we talked about in Ephesians. Adultery. It ends up causing murder. So what of God's promise to David? This set in course a horrible path in David's kingdom. You know the story. I'm not going to read all the details of it, but Nathan comes and speaks to David. And actually, why don't we just read that? Because it was mentioned yesterday in chapter 12, verse 1. "And the Lord sent Nathan unto David, and he came to him and said unto him, 'There were two men in one city, one rich, the other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing, save one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished up, and it grew up together with him and with his children, and it did eat of his own meat and drank of his own cup, and lay in his bosom, and was unto him as a daughter. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd, and to dress for the wayfaring man that was come into him, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come into him. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man, and he said to Nathan, 'As the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die, and he shall restore the lamb fourfold, because he did this thing, and because he had no pity.' And Nathan said to David, 'Thou art the man.' Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee over Israel, I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives into thy bosom, and gave thee all the house of Israel and Judah. And if that had been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me, and taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Very sad story, isn't it? Here we have David, a man after God's own heart, and he falls into sin. So does that mean that God's promise is no longer of effect? You know, if we read through this story, we read the story that Dave Burns referred to yesterday of Amnon and Tamar. That story ended up with his death. Absalom, who jockeys to take the throne, it ends up with his death. Later on, we read of Adonijah, who also is trying to take the throne, and it ends up with his death and this little child. Four lives taken for the very judgment that David had said should come to this man the Lord brought on him. So did that end God's promise to David? No, it didn't. You know, it's beautiful even in this story, and it's nice to see this, and I hope this is what the attitude of our hearts, what my heart should be, is that when we fail, that we would turn to the Lord and confess and cast ourselves on him. He loves us. He wants to bring blessing in our lives. His promises never, ever fail. You know, it's beautiful even in this story. The little child that was conceived dies. But in verse 24 of chapter 12, it says, and David comforted Bathsheba, his wife, and went in unto her and lay with her. She bare a son, and he called his name Solomon. And the Lord loved him. And he sent by the hand of Nathan the prophet, and he called his name Jedidiah because of the Lord. So here the Lord, you see a little bit of grace that comes in. And this son Solomon is born. And it says the Lord loved him. This was the product or a result of our follow-on of that sin. And you know, Solomon grew up, I don't know exactly what it would have been like to have lived in the situation where people would have known what had happened. But what I wanted to speak about briefly was the house of Bathsheba. I'm not planning to get into the details of it. I've heard this spoken on before, but I've been impressed with the details of Bathsheba. You know, the result of this was sin. Her husband, Uriah the Hittite, was a mighty man. He's listed in David's mighty men in chapter 23 of Samuel, at the end of the chapter. You know, Bathsheba's grandfather, Ahithophel, he saw this happen. And we're not given the exact details of what happened with Ahithophel, but we know that when all of this craziness was happening in David's kingdom as a result of this sin, Ahithophel used it to plot against David, knowing what David had done to his family. And he gives counsel to try and have David killed. And David, the Lord, of course, had promised David that he would keep him, and the Lord spares David, and Ahithophel ends up dying. Why don't we just turn to that quickly? If you flip over a few chapters, I'm not planning to go into the details of this, but in 2 Samuel 17, verse 23. So Ahithophel had sided with Absalom when Absalom took the throne and David was chased out of Jerusalem. And he gives counsel to Absalom, and David sends a man back, Hushai, to defeat Ahithophel's counsel. His counsel was so good that it was like the word of God. Actually, why don't we just back up and read that, because it's helpful to see it. In 2 Samuel 16, verse 23, it says, the counsel of Ahithophel, which he counseled in those days, was as if a man inquired at the oracle of God. So was all his counsel, all the counsel of Ahithophel, both with David and with Absalom. And then over in chapter 17 and verse 23 it says, "And when Ahithophel saw that his counsel was not followed, he saddled his ass and arose and got him home to his house, to his city, put his household in order and hanged himself and died and was buried in the sepulcher of his father." Well, here we have this man who was affected by sin, and it caused bitterness, I believe. It doesn't directly say that, but it would seem like that's what happened. And it ended up with his life ending. And you know, there's a tendency in our lives when there's sin, maybe in our families. And you know, as I get older, I realize how sensitive I become to the impact of things that happen in my family. Ahithophel saw what had happened and he became bitter. He didn't look to the Lord in the way that he should. He turned away from David, who was God's chosen king, despite the fact that David had sinned, and it ended up with his life being ended. I mention that because, you know, with the sin around us, the wickedness, all of what had happened, what we had in Ephesians, is happening around us. It's happening in the assembly. It's happening in our families. It's happening, and we can become bitter if we're not careful. And it can destroy our usefulness to the Lord. But I'd like to go on from that just briefly. And this was spoken on by Bill Prost a few years ago, I believe. Bathsheba's father, of which we have very little detail, it would seem that he didn't become bitter, but he remained as one of David's mighty men. I just would like to turn that to that. He's mentioned in 2 Samuel 23, verse 34. This is a list of David's mighty men. Halfway through the verse. Eliam, the son of Ahithophel, the Gilonite. And actually, just go down to verse 39. Uriah, the Hittite. 37 in all. Here were two members of a family that had been destroyed by sin. Yet, they remain faithful to God's anointed king in a time of failure. I can't imagine what it would have been like for Eliam to see what had happened to his daughter and her husband, particularly when Uriah, I don't know the timing of the mighty man, but he probably knew him, probably knew the details of what had happened in the battle, how he was killed. And yet there's no mention of him being bitter over those situations in his family. I say that because there's a tendency in all of our hearts when we see things that seem unjust to get angry and upset. And yet, behind all this, God was working to bring that promise to fruition that he had made to David. Ultimately, in the Lord Jesus Christ, and ultimately in the blessing of everyone here who knows the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. So we can look at this story, and Solomon was born. And he was going to be set up as king, and we see Bathsheba acting in faith in the beginning of Kings. And Solomon is set up as king. And you know, the enemy would have looked on at that situation, and he would have said, he would have known that promise to David, and he would have done everything in his power to destroy what God was doing. And he did. What happened to Solomon? He fell into the same lust as his father and married the wives and concubines, and his heart was stolen from the Lord, and he ended up defiling or setting up false altars that carried right through to Josiah before they were destroyed. The enemy just attacked that promise to that family to the point where later on, and this was mentioned last year with Eliakim and Jehoiakim, and how they were so wicked, that promise said no one would sit on the throne. You know, it would almost seem like there was no way God's promise to this family could ever come true. But the Lord has a plan, as George mentioned, that goes beyond anything that we can imagine to always bring about what he sets out to do. This morning, Teddy spoke about the Lord working on us. He will complete that which he started. The detail of this story that I hadn't noticed, and I would welcome feedback on this if I'm off in any way, but there were actually 4 children born to Bathsheba by David. Actually, if you flip back in Samuel, chapter 5, 2 Samuel 5, it just mentions their 4 names here. 2 Samuel 5 says, "These be the names of those that were born unto him in Jerusalem, Shammua, and Shobab, and Nathan, and Solomon." Doesn't say who their mother is there. If we turn over to Chronicles, 1 Chronicles, in verse 5. "And these were born unto him in Jerusalem, Shimea, and Shobab, and Nathan, and Solomon, 4 of Bathsheba, the daughter of Amiel." Doesn't give us hardly any details of this at all, other than that these 4 were born in Jerusalem. It's Jerusalem specifically mentioned is where they were born, and in multiple cases where this is mentioned. I'd be interested in people's thoughts on that. But they're born to Bathsheba. And you know, there were 4 who died because of David's sin, and yet there was 4 who were born to Bathsheba here. The Lord, of course, brought tremendous blessing through Solomon. But what particularly struck me was just this one little detail of God's grace. And that is, if we go to the New Testament in the genealogy of the Lord, in Matthew, it follows it through David, through Solomon, and through the kings, which the enemy attacked. And you know that Joseph himself was just the legal father of the Lord. And yet the Lord still brought blessing. But if we turn to Luke, which traces his genealogy through Mary, let's just do that. Luke chapter 3. Actually, I'd like to start at verse 22, just because this morning we had the Lord before us. That's where this starts. "The Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape of a dove, like a dove, upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, 'Thou art my beloved Son. In thee I am well pleased.' And Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, as was supposed, the son of Joseph, which is the son of Heli." But if you go through this down in verse 31, it says, "Which was the son of Melea, which was the son of Menan, which was the son of Mattatha, which was the son of Nathan, which was the son of David." David had this son, Nathan, of Bathsheba. And that was the other genealogy of the Lord. You know, we don't know any details about this at all. None. I'd be interested in if anybody had any other mention of this. But just to see how, at a time of complete failure in Israel's history and in this family, and while things just seemed to be falling apart at the seams, the Lord was working in the background to bring about his purposes of blessing. It's beautiful to see that to me. You know, God's grace is beyond anything that we can begin to comprehend. You know, as I go about my daily life, and there's struggles at work, and there's struggles in the family, and there's struggles perhaps in the assembly, whatever they may be, you know, the Lord is behind it all. He's in control of absolutely everything to bring about his purpose of blessing. Those blessings that we see in Ephesians that we have already, nothing can change them. You know, it's beautiful to me as we look at the story of David to see how God worked in blessing in that family to keep those promises that he had given in a time when there was all of the things that we see in the world around us today. And as George has said, his coming is before us. His coming is just around the corner. We're about to hear the sound of that trump and be caught up to be with him for all eternity. And his desire is to bless. You know, it is so easy to look at our personal situation that maybe most people don't understand. But the Lord can bring blessing. Not only can, he will, if we trust him. Oh, I hope that I can have such a state of soul that even if I fail miserably, I can turn to the Lord in repentance and cast myself on him and realize his desire for blessing in my life. It's beautiful to me to see the details of this story and to see how God worked in blessing in Abraham's life despite his failure. How the Lord worked in David's life despite his failure. How he worked in the household of Bathsheba that was completely messed up because of what had happened here. Well, I just share those things because I appreciated a little bit just by picking up those couple of details about that family of how the Lord works in such tremendous grace.